miracles that have happened in our life recently, and I really feel like I should share them. My husband Charles and I have two kids. Our daughter Jenna is 8 years old, and our son CJ is 5. Well, he would correct me and say I'm 5 and a half, Mom, but you know. Anyway, a few months ago, our daughter Jenna had some odd symptoms start to happen. Her heart would start racing out of nowhere. She would cry from the weird feelings in her chest, stomach, and face. She would get hot and sweaty out of nowhere, wanted to wear shorts, and refused a coat in frigid temperatures. I just thought, she's a kid, but the symptoms got worse last week especially. And through the night, she was unable to sleep through the night. The weird feelings and her racing heart kept waking her up. And along with that, she started having tremors. We would comfort her in the night when she woke up crying, and feeling her body shake uncontrollably next to mine was surreal, to say the least. We prayed and prayed with Jenna. We prayed during the episodes for it to stop. We prayed after the episodes and thanked God that they had stopped. We prayed for them to stop and never return. After one day, it was like worse than ever. We took her to prompt care, but there were no answers, so her pediatrician ordered blood work. They called the next day, and normally it's a, hey, just want to let you know everything was normal, but they asked if I had a few minutes to talk. They explained that Jenna's labs showed her thyroid level was 6 times lower than it should be, which does explain all of the symptoms that she was having. So we were referred to a specialist to treat Jenna, but we had to wait 5 days. Before we got into the specialist, I shared all this information with my small group, and they began to pray, and along with some other close friends, they began to pray too. Okay, miracle number one might seem small to you, but big to me. Finding a reason why our daughter felt so cruddy. You might say, that's not a miracle, Clara, that's a blood test. But we have to give God credit, right? And even the small things. Sometimes we're looking for a huge miracle, and sometimes it's tiny. I was so thankful to know why, and then just trusting the doctors. It's a sign of hope that she could feel better soon. I was texting with my friend Cammie, and she was praying, and she said something that made me think. She said, I'm praying for you and Charles, too, on top of praying for Jenna. I'm praying that you and Charles feel better because I can't imagine how you feel. Well, this is miracle number two. In that moment, I had instant flashbacks of Jenna's horrible episodes, the call from her doctor, realizing what this might be. And I felt God saying, you see, I have been with you every step of the way. My peace has kept you chillaxed when you would normally freak out. Keep giving your worries to me, and I will give you rest. I immediately thanked and praised God. Then my current favorite Bible verse, because I think your Bible verse changes with your seasons of life. My current one is Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And then this whole realization that too many times in my life, I have worried away today over something that hasn't even happened yet. Anyone else ever done that? Right? Not alone, thank you. I used to find myself trapped in the worry of the what-ifs. I mean, it was like a prison. I used to not have peace. I would comfort myself with worry instead of giving it to God. And I was content in that. How crazy. But the second miracle is that I have been able, and Charles too, have been able to give our worries to God. First of all, Charles is so chill. I mean, I want to be like you. But he, you know, keeps me calm. But we've been able to give our worries to God. I tell my kids and even tell myself, God doesn't call us to be nervous wrecks. He calls us to trust him. And I think of that burdens, yoke, and rest verse, which is Matthew 11:29-30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I'm still a human and I still have concerned moments, but I have been releasing the negative worries to God, and I am left with God's peace that seriously surpasses all human understanding, to where it doesn't make sense why I'm not sobbing or in tears or worried until I can't breathe. I trust God. I know there's a plan. Yes, I have normal motherly concerns. I no longer let it fester, though. It doesn't consume me. I pray, ask good questions, and I hand it over to my loving Father that just like I want to see my kids thrive, my Heavenly Father wants to see me, his daughter, thrive. And same with Charles, his son. He wants to see us thrive. He doesn't want to see us drowning. But I have to release it to him. He can't take it unless I let it go. Where will worrying get me? Nowhere, right? I realized all of this before the third miracle occurred. We were floating in the 5 days waiting to see Jenna's specialist. She was having multiple episodes a day. I thanked God for helping us to relax. 6 days ago on Monday, I was doing schoolwork with my kids, and Jenna started to have an episode. We had an appointment the next day, but started to pray right then and there to comfort her. Thankfully, it passed. We were almost done with schoolwork. I felt what I would say the Holy Spirit say, well, not audibly, but I like felt it saying, call the doctor and see if they have a cancellation. And I was like, all right, I will as soon as we're, no, now. I felt it. So I immediately dropped what I was doing, and I called, and lo and behold, they had an appointment we could go in 2 hours to go. They had a cancellation. God, right? God. So I pray that that miracle helps anybody that has a, if you ever have that feeling, trust it, pray on it, act on it if you can, because too many times I've passed up the feeling and I've just brushed it off as being nothing, but trust that and trust God. I took Jenna to that appointment, another small miracle, but still big. Charles got off work in time to be there too. Her specialist was so thorough and explained everything awesomely. But he did say that her thyroid levels indicate something called Graves' disease and will require daily medicine and frequent blood tests to ensure all her levels are good. In our minds, literally, this is how God changes you. A year ago, I would have sobbed. A year ago, I would have thought, woe is me, woe is my daughter, how horrible. Now, of course, I don't want my 8-year-old to go through any of this. But we had, peace. We looked at each other. We were like, not bad. Not too bad. What? That's God. We were so thankful to have a specialist, but he said that there was a 7 to 10 day blood test that needed to be done. So we don't know all the results yet, but he did say he would call us the next day, Tuesday, to let us know he was going to start her on a beta blocker for her heart because it just needed to chill. So I thought, gosh, the only thing I'll be honest, I thought 7 to 10 more days of these episodes, man, that sucks. I don't want my daughter to feel like this anymore. I'm thinking all this in my mind, and I literally could feel God standing there just waiting to take it from me, waiting to take the heaviness of life that I cannot control and hand it over to him. I felt relieved to know that he would help us get through the next days, weeks, months, years. I'm going to use an analogy to help you understand, maybe more if you don't. Once a week, maybe like you, we put our trash out so the trash people can come pick it up and take it away, right? God wants to do the same with us. He doesn't want us to carry the trash of life, the burdens of life. Of course, we have to go through trials, but he doesn't want us to do it alone, and he doesn't want us to be overwhelmed by it where we can't live our life. He wants to take it from you. The fourth miracle. I might cry. Tuesday morning, her specialist called to say that her thyroid level is almost back in a normal range. She would not need a beta blocker for her heart. And she has only had one small episode since seeing that doctor on Monday. She has told me almost every day, Mom, I feel so much better. What a miracle. People will say, wow, the human body is so cool. But I know it's my prayer answering, awesomely caring God that is the cool one.
Amen.
We don't have the 10-day blood test results yet. We'll get them this week. But we know God cares. God listens. He loves. And he's going to be with us the entire journey. All praise to God. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you very much. Good job. I'll take the mic. Here you go. I won't give that to you. Yeah. That's why we come together, isn't it? Right? To hear that story. To hear the testimony, to know that God is still at work. We're a church that we will be encouraged to share how God is moving. And if any of you ever feel like God is moving and you got to share it, I want you to know you have a place here. We want to hear how God is moving in your life. Because I believe somebody in here needed to hear that testimony. To know that our God is one full of miracles, from the big to the small. to the ones that we don't even notice that are happening right now, that he's working and he never ceases, right? And that's awesome. As I was preparing this morning and thinking about this service and knowing what Clara was going to say, and we were about to approach his throne, I just wanted to say a couple of lyrics from this awesome song. It's a song by David Crowder. It's Come As You Are. And I just want you to hear some of these lyrics and just take them in this morning before we approach the throne. Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let the rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay them down, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wonder, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your hurt, come as you are. There's no hope, there's hope for the hopeless and all those who have strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay them down, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wonder, come home. You're not too far. Lay down your hurt. Lay down your heart. Come as you are. Fall in his arms. Come as you are. There's joy in for the morning. O sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens. Lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt. Lay down your heart. Come as you are. This morning, I can't help but think some of us fall into this category. That we have been hurt, that we have struggling, that we are broken, and feel like we just don't live up to the standard that God has set for us. That maybe the world is winning right now. And I want to offer you the opportunity. Maybe you're stressed. Maybe you're looking for some miracles. Maybe you just need God to approach you this morning, embrace you this morning, and tell you, I love you. You're free. Let me take your burdens. Let me take your worries. Let me take your stress and anxiety this morning. Let me wipe you clean of all the fear that you wake up to. If that's you this morning, we want you to know the altars are open, but we also know God can meet you right where you're sitting. God can embrace you right where you're sitting. I ask that you open your heart, that you open your mind this morning as we pray to God, that you allow God to embrace you, to allow God to show you the miracles that he is patiently giving. May he reveal to you this morning how much he loves you. May your testimony be filled up today. May you be able to see the grace and the mercy that he wants to bestow upon you. Again, the altars are open. If you have any worries and anxieties, if you're stressed, I want you to know God will meet you right here, right there. So in this time, let's pray. Let's meet God. Let's allow God to meet us. Heavenly Father, we're the wonders that you are seeking. May you love on us. May we feel that love. Lord, may we lay down our petitions at your feet. May we feel free in this moment of all the worries and anxieties that we carry. May we trust you. May we believe in you. Lord, it might be every second that we're going, Lord, I keep wanting to take it back. I keep wanting to have that fear. It's hard for me not to worry and not stress. Lord, may I continue to hand that over to you. May we believe that you're in the boat with us and that you're the God that can calm the storms. This morning, wherever we sit, wherever we kneel, wherever we're going through in life, may we know that you seek us out, that you love us, that you carry our burdens. As Clara said this morning, your burdens, your yoke is light. May we seek you. May you make our life free. May we seek and find the miracles. It might be not the prayers that we want them to be answered, but you will answer them in the way that we need them to be answered. This morning, may we trust you. May you fill up our testimony. We give you all the praise this morning. May you be a God that we know and see that's moving in our lives. We worship you. All right, good morning, church. I am so glad you're here. I'm Pastor Ben. I just want you to know, it is fun doing ministry here. I know I said it, I think, last week. I can't remember what all I said last week. I just know I stumbled through it, and a lot of you have been very kind and very loving towards me, and just knowing that I know God is working because I'm able to stand up here this morning and give a sermon even through the times that I feel like this doesn't work. I know God does, right? And I know God has got a reason for us to be here, and I know he's working, and I'm excited to be a part of that. I know even last week, my man over here said it is fun doing ministry here. And I can't lie, like, I believe that too. It is fun because we're seeing how God is working. And he's moving, and he's changing lives, and it is awesome to be a part of that. I hope you feel the same way. I hope that you can see how God is moving in your lives this week. We have been going through a sermon series called Four, and what we're trying to realize is we want to be a church that is known for what we are for, right? It is really easy in our community and with our culture to really know what we stand against. You probably don't need to go out and tell people what we as a church are against. I think that's just it's kind of natural. We've got that message down without even having to preach it, without even having to be protesters out there. I think the world knows what we're against. I think what we need to really learn is what we're for, right? And this week, the subtitle for this is All In. All right? We want our community and our community here and our community that we live in to know that we're all in. Right? As I was preparing this morning, I thought about Jesus and his disciples getting in the boat together and to cross this lake to do more ministry on the other side. And I thought about it in terms of, what if those disciples weren't fully committed at getting in the boat? That they decided, you know, I want to do this, but life over here is a little bit, like, I know what's going on over here. And they, like, it just wouldn't work to just go half in on a boat, right? That when you're in a boat, you got to be in a boat, or you're just dragging a leg, and at some time you're just going to, the swell of whatever is going to, one wave could probably take you out and you're done, right? You have to be fully committed to be in a boat. I don't know about you. I've been on one cruise. I know there's other people that have been on cruises. Anybody been on cruises, right? Have you ever, like, decided at some point mid-cruise, you're like, I don't want to be on this cruise anymore? And look out there and, like, where do I get off, right? I mean, you could probably jump and good luck to you, right? Because you can't see any kind of island. You can't see any land. All you see is this horizon of sea. Am I right? You are fully committed when you get on a cruise, all right? And if you really want to overthink it like I would, being on the cruise, and you're like, I'm on this vessel, and I am trapped. And if you really wanted to be, I'm messing people up. If I'm going to give you a fear that you're like, why? Why would you do this to me? Like getting on there, there's no way off. If it's like a giant closet that you're completely stuffed in and you're with all these other weird people that decided to go on this boat and eat a lot, be entertained, sort of, and be trapped out in the middle of the sea. And if something happens to that vessel, good luck to you. Right? Think of the Titanic. Right? They were all good. This is supposed to make it. Right? Think about it with these disciples. They were fully committed. They got in. They didn't think about it. And then a storm hit. And guess what Jesus is doing in that storm? He's asleep. Right? I think a lot of us could probably sympathize with the disciples in this moment. There has been times in our life that storms have come and we feel like, are you asleep, God? Right? And what do we tend to do? I'm going to throw a life preserver. I'm going to hop out of this boat. I'm going to seek shelter. I'm going to be safe and I'm going to be good. Right? Now, they went up to Jesus. They woke up Jesus because they understood they're in this middle of the storm and the boat is going to capsize if something doesn't change. What I love about this, too, is they knew, like, the only one, like, they're experienced, a lot of them were experienced fishermen. They knew how to navigate the seas. They knew how to navigate the lakes and the waters that they lived in. And they have this moment, they're like, listen, the only one that can save us right now is Jesus, and Jesus is sleeping. Go wake him up. They wake him up, and what does Jesus do? Calms the storms, tells them to stop, and everything is peaceful. And what I love is like they ask for God, they ask Jesus in this moment to save them, and they are astonished because Jesus saved them. Right? It's like they were still halfway in with who they were following. They wanted to believe. They wanted to know it's real. And in this moment that it becomes so real, and I want you to know, they saw miracles. They saw him feed 5,000, which was more than that. They saw him feed 10,000, really, with just minimal amount of food. Like, he did amazing things. He made the blind see. He made all the cripples walk. He made things happen that were not natural to their time. And they still doubted in some ways, even after asking, please save us. Who is this that can command the wind and the sea and the weather? This is crazy. I tend to wonder for us how often we tend to doubt God when we cry out to him. Right? And I want to approach it from a couple parables. And the first one I want to say this is the parable of two sons, which can be found in Matthew 21, 28 through 32. All right, and I love this parable. It's a very interesting one to me because I think a lot of us can sympathize with this, right? I know as a young teenage man, I feel like this is directed to me. But really, the people that Jesus is saying this parable to is to the righteous, the religious. I don't want to say righteous, the religious of their time, all right? And he tells this parable of two sons, and the parable of two sons goes this way. One said he would not do the request of their father. Their father had some work to go out to be done, and he said, I'm not going to do it. And later on, he decided, I'm going to do what my father asked me to do, and he went out and did, right? And then the other son said, absolutely, I'll get it done. And a couple hours later, he's like, I don't want to do it. I told him I'd do it, but he doesn't need to know. I don't want to do it, so I'm just going to relax and hang out. And Jesus asked in that moment, so who did what the Father had asked, right? And he responds, which two did what the father wanted? And the first, they answered, Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of the righteous, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe. Whoo! Whoo! I could end it right there on this sermon. You might be happy with that, but I've got a couple more parables to tell you this morning. But he's telling this to the leaders of the church of that time, and he tells them what? That the prostitutes and the tax collectors are going to understand the message of God before them. That they are going to enter kingdom of God before them. That's kind of harsh. And what he's saying there is what this story is that they say with their mouths that they believe, but all in they are not. They are not fully committed with how they act. And he knows it. And I want us to understand, it is easy, especially what, on a Sunday morning, to believe what God has in store for us, to believe that he has redeemed us, to believe that he is doing work in us, that we are forgiven. And the moment we step out into this world, we look no different from this world. That we instantly become hopeless and negative. We find ourselves trapped in the trappings of society where we, when one gossips, we're right in there with them. When one lies, we're right there with them. When one curses and uses vile things out of our mouth, we look and sound no different. Because it's easier, right? I tend to wonder how all in sometimes we get. And I want to tell the parable of the bags of gold. And you can find that in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. And what you have here is Jesus explaining when God gives us gifts. I believe everyone in here, God has given you a gift that will help do ministry. Do you believe that? Do you? All right. I heard probably 7 of you. All right. I just want you to know, the loudest one taught a class last month about it. Right? So it was good to hear that he truly believes what he was teaching. But I truly believe God has gifted you for a reason. Why? To glorify the kingdom of God. Not you. Right? Now, this is part of the issue that we have, and I'm going to explain that in a little bit later, but we get mixed up sometimes that we think it's about us, but really it's about God when it comes to doing what God has called us to do. All right? In this moment, God has given talents, and he's telling about what it means to receive his talents in this parable. And so he tells of these three people that have received these bags of gold. And one is 10 pounds, like 10 bags of gold, and he sends him out and goes, all right, double it, do what you got to do, use it to glorify me, right? Use it so when you come back, you have something for me, right? And he goes, all right, he did it. And he comes back, and he had doubled it. And then the next one, he gives 5 bags, and he does the same thing. He doubles it, and they're so amped, right? And this is where the third one comes in. It's always the last one, right? He comes in, and I think it is really, really easy to sympathize with this one, and very, very scary because of how easy it is to sympathize with this one. This one was received the 2 bags of gold, and he was supposed to come back and double it, basically, right? Now, this is what he responded, all right? I want you to understand where his fear comes in. Jesus sat down. Oh, that's not it. I don't have that one up. But what he says there, let me get it somewhere. Anyway, I know what happens. I'll tell you my version. I wanted to read it to you. I'm a little slow today. What he says is basically this. He goes to Jesus. He tells the king in that moment, I know where you reap and where you sow, and you just go. And I'm fearful of what you would take from me if I didn't come back with something. So he went out and buried the gold. He went out because out of fear of not having anything, if he were to fail, right, and lose everything, he was afraid of showing up with nothing. And presenting that to the king was not going to be acceptable to him. All right? And so out of fear, he went and buried it, put it away, and only showed up with those same two bags of gold because it did nothing. And Jesus explained, shame on that one that did nothing with what was given to them. You know where I reap and I sow. And you thought the best answer would be just to return with no effort in glorifying the kingdom. And just being here. And I think it's easier to understand this in terms of who Jesus is and what Jesus did for us. Think about it in those terms, and we understand the cost that he was willing to give for the benefit of us in return. You see, Jesus, if he had the same mentality as the third one, he would not have died on the cross for us. Because the cost was scary. And he would probably look out at the ones in which, even in that moment that he was dying for, who had abandoned him, who betrayed him, who denied him, and go, it's not worth it. It is easy as a follower of God to go, okay, God, you do the work, let me come in. And God is looking at us. Are you all in? Because I have equipped you to do the work. And it's going to cost you. It's not easy. And in those moments, you might lose. You might not make it back in the moment that you came to me previously. But I will bless you anyway because I know you are doing the work that I have given you. God has called us to be a church, to be a people that are all in. We don't sit around and hope that at one moment I will be perfect, and in that moment when I'm perfect and I'm totally free from sin and I never want to sin again, that I know that I can do what God has called me in that moment because I am perfect, is what the Pharisees believed. It is in my imperfections that his grace and mercy shine through. And I step out in this world knowing that I have been redeemed, and even though I am still not perfect, that my God and my Lord and my Savior comes and redeems me in that moment, and I hand over my imperfections to him, and I go, I'm all in. I'm all in when I share the gospel with the ones that I have previously done things that I know is not what God has ever wanted. And they can look to me and go, you hypocrite. And I can easily go, you're absolutely right, but my God loves this hypocrite and still redeems this hypocrite right now. I have lived in a world where I have not been fully committed, and I have been shamed of that, and I have been worried of that, and it has limited me, and it has limited God with what he can do through me. But when I start to have faith, and I get in that boat, when the storms come, I know the one that can calm the storms. I know the one that can protect me through the storms. I know the one that when the storms beat me up, he will still lift me up. I want to be in even though I fail so many times. I will not be afraid of failure. I know my God can use my failures, but I want to glorify him through my failures. He has taken this poor, wretched soul and has redeemed it and used it for his glory. And I want to be all in because of that. Don't you? There's one other story that Jesus tells that I think is so, so revealing and so, so easy to understand. It's the one that is found in Mark 12, 41 through 40. Jesus sat down opposite of the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw large amounts, but a poor widow came and put a very small copper coins worth only a few cents. He called his disciples to him. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the poor widow has put more into the treasury than all others." I want you to first know that this has nothing to do with offering. This is all about the attitude in which this is displayed here. There may have been, what Jesus was noticing was people were putting stuff in out of their comfort, out of their ease, out of their life situation that they had, and they wanted everybody else to do it, to see what they were doing too. It was a big thing. It was, offering was one of those moments that when you came down with an image. You came down in this moment that everybody could see and see what you were putting into. They wanted everybody to see what they were putting into the offering. That'd be a weird offering, wouldn't it? And like, can you imagine? I can only imagine if they had the technology that we had today, that they would put the offering up of how their total was and who was doing the most. Can you imagine that? Like where you go and like all of a sudden, ching, 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 ching. So-and-so is lifted up above you. Oh! It's easy to laugh at. But spiritually, I think we have the same desire in many ways. I think we want to be known that we're righteous, that we're good, that I have read my Bible, that I have prayed my prayers, that I have led people to God. I don't curse, I don't drink, I don't dance, I don't do those things, and I don't go with girls that do. Because I'm married, I heard that. If only you knew her before. She was perfect. I think we easily can get into rankings. What does God say? What does Jesus say about the least of these? They're first. What has he called the church to be? He has called us to be amongst the least of these. Why do you think he said the prostitutes and the tax collectors are going to be entering the kingdom of God before that? Because they were considered the least of these. No righteous person would ever be caught with a prostitute during that time. No righteous person would be ever caught with a tax collector. And here you have Jesus surrounded by these people. Our Savior, who is perfect, came to serve and not be served. To be all in is this understanding of attitude. I will give all that I have to glorify God no matter what circumstances I find myself in. It is not in a moment where you go, once I retire, I'm willing to follow God fully if he's called me to something. Not in this moment after my kids graduate will I go, okay, now that I'm free from this, I am fully committed. No, if God is calling you and he's given you gifts, he has called you in that moment to be faithful, to be all in. If you're waiting to be the perfect Christian, I want you to know there's no such thing. If you're waiting to have the full knowledge of scriptures, you're missing out because God is wanting to write those scriptures in your life right now. He's wanting you to use you to glorify his kingdom. Do you believe that? This morning, I wonder, as we close, what are the things in which inhibits us from being all in? What does it look like when we put all that we have on living for Jesus? This morning, this is what my request is. This is, before we dismiss, this is my request. That you think about the areas in your life that you're not fully all in for Jesus. What's holding you back? Maybe you think that you should be served. And it's this attitude that of being a servant that you need right now. Maybe it's this, I've just held on to this weariness, this horrible situation that I find myself in, and I need to just trust God and go, I'm in through the storms and through the thick of it. I want to believe and trust that my God is bigger than it. Maybe it's that God doesn't have enough grace to sustain you. I want you to know that is a lie that the devil tells. And first off, I want you to tell, you're never going to be good enough to earn it. We talked about that last week. You don't deserve it, but it's given freely to you this morning. Salvation was found upon the cross, and not a single one of us deserve that. My question to you is this: what holds you back from being all in this morning? To be fully committed, to go in that boat through the storms, through the thick of it. How you see yourself in these parables. Are you the one that is like first said, nah, I'm not going to do it, but are you ready to do it? Or have you been a lot of talk, and you're like, I don't want, I'll do it, but when it comes to doing what God has called you, you just back away. Are you afraid of the gifts that God has given you because you don't want to disappoint God? That you're scared of stepping out into the scary world with what God has charged you and gifted you with? Are you ready to go and step out into this world knowing that I need to do what God has given me? Because He's charged you. We've all talked about it. Just a couple seconds, you all agreed for the most part that God has given you gifts. Guess what you're supposed to do with them? Glorify Him. To bring the kingdom into this world, His kingdom. We serve the least of these. How are we serving? How are we loving? Are we all in? What holds us back? Are you done with the excuses? Are you done with the doubts? Are you done with the storms? Do you know that God is bigger than our doubts? He's bigger than our storms. He is here ready to move in your life. Are you wanting that to happen today? Maybe you're just done saying yes and you want to actually see yourself do it, to believe in it. God is waiting. This is the cool thing about God. He's patient. He's never going to give up on you. Maybe you need to hear that this morning. He's never going to give up on you. Till the day that you take your last breath, God will be anticipating you saying yes to Him fully for the first time. I am all in, just like the thief on the cross that says, can I party with you up in heaven because I believe that you're the Messiah? And what does Christ say? He says, absolutely. Not anything that the thief on the cross did earned him into heaven. It was everything that Jesus changed in that thief. He's wanting to do the same for you this morning. Don't let your doubts get in the way. Don't let your sin get in the way. Believe His grace and mercy are enough. Let's trust in Him this week. My question for you is this, and I know I'm going long, I'm sorry. I want you to write it down this week. I want you to write it down. I was going to do an altar, but I think God's going to do something bigger. I want you to spend time in meditation. I want you to know that God is working in your life. If there's things that you're doubting, if there's things that you're worried about, if there's things that's holding you back from doing what God has called you to do, write it down. Bring them next week, because we will sacrifice them. We will trust our God and our Lord and our Savior that He's bigger than those doubts, those worries, those concerns, right? And we're going to celebrate as a church what it looks like to believe that God is moving together, that God is still doing miracles after miracles after miracles, and he's wanting you to be a part of those miracles. You ready for that, church? You ready for it to be fun for you? Ready for it to be exciting? Because guess what? The moment we step in the boat with him, we don't know what's going to happen. He's going to be bringing people in our lives. You're like, okay, this is the least of the, I don't like this person. Love thy enemy. Love thy neighbor. Love thy boss. Love thy pastor. I'm hoping this week, woo, that God starts moving in your lives. That this moment you're like, do I jump in? Do I get in this boat? I've been hesitant. I know he's called me. I know he's wanting me. I've had doubts. I've said yes, and I just decided not to show up. Let this week be the week that God moves, that he stirs in your heart, that you can't sleep at night, that you can't think of anything else, that you're distracted at work. That people are like, where have you been? What's going on? God's working on me. I hope you're unsettled this week. I know that's a mean thing to say. I hope you're unsettled because I think God is going to move in your lives. I think God is speaking to you right now, that God is saying, I need you. I want you. I want you to believe in me. I want you to be all in with me. And he tells you what you need, and he says, these are the least of these. Are you willing to love them? Are you willing to serve them? Are you willing to do what I have done and die on the cross for them? Pray that you have a bad week in a good way that glorifies God, because you're stirred, you're restless, because God is calling you and he's wanting you to be all in. I pray for that this week. Stand with me. Come back tonight. Let's have fun. Let's buy a lot of desserts. I urge you, whatever dessert you buy, you share it with those who need God's love. That it's not just something for you. That it opens a door of opportunity to share Christ's love to somebody else. We are on mission because God wants us to be on mission with him. When you exit this morning, I pray that the question looms in your head, in your heart, am I all in? What's holding me back? Church, you're dismissed.